Well, good morning, God's beautiful people. Christ is risen. Wow, you know it well. Indeed. Friends, I want to join in the welcome that Sally extended to each of you on this day of days. And to, I'm sure it is great joy for you to be with the church family, but with your families and friends and relatives who have joined you for an Easter meal or Easter gathering. These are important celebrations. We take nothing for granted when we have the opportunity to hug and to kiss our relatives and our grandchildren and our children. Notice I put grandchildren before children. And to spoil those grandchildren even more. So it's good to be with you on such a day like this. I want to not emphasize so much, but one of the really important events, there are lots of important events in the life of Christ Church, but Make a Difference Day is going to happen in May. And the Make a Difference Day collection list is posted, I believe, Sally. And for those of you who have participated, many of our members will sign up for various items they will bring. And then on the day itself, on May 15th, Christ Church shows in this community what it is to be Christ Church and to do Christ Church in so many ways. It's been a great inspiration and blessing to the communities around and to the city of Buffalo in general. So note that date, but also please register for the many items that are needed to make this day a successful and fruitful day. The clipboard, I understand, is in the parlor area. So as you leave today, take a moment to sign one of those sheets on the items we're looking to collect. Oh, the projects as well are there. I didn't realize those are there. So, right, wow. You are going to have a full, fun-filled day-to-day signing up and a fun-filled day on May 15th. Friends, I read the scripture for today, and it's taken from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, verse 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of Christ. Easter Sun, Day of Days. Let us pray. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My dear friends, one of the common elements of the resurrection stories across the Gospels is that no one expects the resurrection. Even though Jesus predicted his death and resurrection several times across his ministry, no one greets the news that God has raised Jesus from the grave and defeated death and the evil one by saying, "Praise God." No one shouts, "Hallelujah," when they hear that their friend and their Lord have been raised to life. And absolutely no one, upon hearing the news that death itself could not hold the Lord of glory captive, says, "I knew it," just like he said. That's right. No one expects resurrection. And no one, quite frankly, believes it at first. This is true, as I said, across the Gospels. And it is certainly apparent in the Gospel of Luke. The women come to the tomb expecting to anoint Jesus' dead body. That is, they have no expectation that he has been raised. In fact, only when they are reminded by the two men in dazzling clothes do they recall Jesus' promise. Energized by this encounter, they run back to tell the rest of the disciples, who greet their tale with utter skepticism. In fact, Luke says that those who received the testimony of the women regarded their message as an idle tale. That's actually a fairly generous translation of the Greek word leros. That word, you see, is the root of our word delirious. So in short, they thought that the women were crazy, nuts, utter nonsense. And quite frankly, who can blame them? I mean, resurrection isn't simply a claim that Jesus' body was resuscitated. It's the claim that God entered the stage of human history in order to create an entirely new reality. Altogether, this new reality, which quite frankly can be frightening, can be frightening. As Anna Carter Florence, professor of homiletics at Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, says, and I quote, "If the dead don't stay dead, what can we count on? Resurrection," she says, "seen this way, breaks all the rules." And while most of us will admit that the old rules aren't perfect and sometimes are downright awful, at least we know them. She goes on, "They are predictable, a known quantity, and in this sense, comforting. And resurrection upsets all of that." End of quote. Resurrection, in other words, throws off the balance and throws us out of balance, upsets the apple cart, and generally turns our neat and orderly lives totally out of whack. Which is why I think that if you don't find resurrection at least a little hard to believe, you probably aren't taking it very seriously. And truth be told, I suspect that that's where most of us are. We've heard the story of resurrection. We've heard the story so often, it hardly makes us blink, let alone shake with wonder and surprise, which is rather sad when you think about it, because this promise, as difficult as it may be to believe initially, is huge. When it sinks in and lays hold of us, absolutely everything looks a little different, doesn't it? So with that in mind, two words of counsel on this day of days. First, I think we've got a great opportunity to say to those that actually do find resurrection, at least when we think seriously about it, a little hard to believe, that they are in good company. They, along with the rest of Jesus' disciples, struggle to believe simply because they recognize the incredible scope and the titanic implications of the biblical witness that when God raised Jesus from the dead, God was creating a new reality, overthrowing death, overthrowing sin, and all that would oppress us, and declaring once and for all that life is more powerful than death, and love more enduring than tragedy. So what happened in Belgium? It upsets us, and it's tragic. But people of faith believe that love conquers tragedy. That's where we are this Sunday morning. That resurrection conquers sin. That's where we are as people of faith. Which means that maybe we could admit this Sunday that we in the church have at times mischaracterized the nature of religious faith. While we may sometimes give the impression that perfect faith conquers all doubt, biblical authors believe that faith and doubt are actually woven quite closely together. Isn't that comforting? Doubt, questions, even downright skepticism. These aren't opposites of faith. No. Rather, an essential ingredient. Faith, after all, isn't knowledge. Rather, faith, as the author to the letter to the Hebrews, a book we have been studying on a Thursday here at the church, the author to the letter to the Hebrews reminds us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, faith. The conviction of things not seen. And perhaps Easter Sunday, this day of days, is as good at a time as any to give God thanks for the gift of faith. The ability not to understand the mystery of the resurrection, but to be inspired to hope and believe that it is true. Wow! Secondly, my second counsel to you is this. I also think that on this day of days, it's just as important to invite those who simply accept the resurrection as part of their faith, but perhaps without really thinking about it, to allow the wonder of God's activity in the resurrection to break in upon them in a new way. Toward that end, I ask you, my friends, I ask you to consider inviting your relatives and your friends and the Easter Sunday crowd to participate more fully in attendance at worship and in the life of our congregation here at Christ Church. To participate more fully in attendance at worship and in the life of our congregation starting from this year's Easter season, which, if you ask me, is every Sunday. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Did you know that? You can certainly do that actively by asking folks, simply asking folks to talk to the person near you, near where you live. Talk to the person right here in church today or at home with relatives and friends as you eat a delicious Sunday, Easter Sunday lunch. But given that I suspect most of us, including myself, are somewhat reluctant to invite the Easter Sunday crowd to active participation, perhaps simply some reflection on the incredible nature of resurrection could provide a powerful experience for some folks. So if you're game for this, I'd first invite folks to think to themselves about what makes believing in the resurrection difficult. To have an honest conversation with relatives and friends, what makes the resurrection difficult to believe? You might start by sharing some of your own reflections, something like this. We've never seen anything like it. Or we all say that the two givens in life are death and taxes. You could start there. Or what about the natural order? It's not something that any of us have experienced and so forth. But after admitting the reasons why disciples from the beginning forward have had good reason to wonder and even doubt, then ask what would be possible if it were true. Again, share some of your own reflection as a prompt, something like this. Death does not have the final word. Love and life are stronger than fear and death. We can expect to see those we've loved and lost again. God has a future in store for each and all of us. Anything is possible with God. That kind of conversation. Because resurrection and resurrection faith came very slow to most of the disciples. Take comfort in that, my friends. But when it came, change happened. When it came, it changed everything. Hence, we have the church today. Hence, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we have the church. that bears witness in worship that God is alive. It's just that kind of faith. We are invited to preach and to teach and to share every Sunday for sure, but certainly on this day of days, the eighth day, often it's referred to, the eighth day, as the day of new creation that begins with resurrection and continues until God creates a new heaven and a new earth and renews and redeems all things. St. Augustine explained the change of signs from circumcision to baptism, the change of the Sabbath day from the seventh to the eighth by suggesting that the eighth day in the Old Testament carried with it the idea of new creation and resurrection. So here's what I want to do. I want to thank you so much for your part in welcoming people into this new reality, even here and even now. As I conclude this message, it may be necessary to give a brief preface to the reading of this lesson that the they are the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. It is they who had followed Joseph of Arimathea to see where Jesus' body had been placed and had then gone home to wait for the Sabbath to be over. Since it was not proper or safe to be out at night, the women wait for early dawn, the first possible opportunity to go to the tomb. They took spices because a family obligation for a proper burial in Jesus' time was to wrap the body with a cloth shroud and enclose with spices. The body would normally be left for a year for the flesh to be cleansed away from the bones. At the end of this purification period, the bones would be collected into a special box and placed in a family crypt. Luke's reporting of these details gives a continuous testimony of the whereabouts of Jesus' body. This helps to rebut any later possible suggestions of a hoax or tricks. It is unthinkable that anyone would go to a tomb on the Sabbath or at night, just unthinkable. However, it is also noteworthy that women are given this honor. But here is the key. Here is the key. This lesson contains no resurrection. No resurrection. It is a story of an empty tomb and of remembering what we have already been told would happen. But this lesson also contains trusting the amazing void. Jesus has been vindicated, not just personally. Jesus' mission has been vindicated. Look around you. It's called a church. Jesus' message has been vindicated. It's called the good news, the proclamation of good news for the poor. Has been vindicated. And it is a story that asks a question that is still worth pondering today. This very day, this day of days, the question is still worth pondering, my friends. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we look for the living among the dead? How much of our life, our anxious worrying, is spent looking for life, looking for love, looking for happiness in all the wrong places? Why do we look for the living among the dead? Remember what we have already been told and live a blessed Easter to all of you. Amen.
So have you